What's going on, y'all? Welcome to Is the Mic Still On? We couldn't meet up to shoot last weekend, but since we made so much content last time when Kyle was here, we still got enough to bring you another great episode. This first part started off with Mike talking about why he doesn't go to Lenox Mall anymore and went in so many different great directions. So enjoy the show.
Lenox has changed a lot, but and I always tell like that. Huh?
What? I thought it was always like
it was always open, but now it seems like it's a more, which is weird, but it's a more gay friendly mall. So when you go there, I think the majority of the population at Lenox Mall happen to be gay men. So the reason I don't really go there a lot, one, it seems like all the stores are extra expensive for some reason. It seems like the shit that's at Macy's at that mall will be like three times the price as the Macy's by North DeKalb Mall.
Right.
But the other reason is, like I said, I don't like talking to people in general, no matter who you are. What I really don't like is people coming up and like getting in my personal space and or touching me.
Oh, shit.
And that has happened at Lenox Mall. Like on more than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 occasions. So I don't like going there. And my girl's always like, well, if you stop wearing them tight ass pants, that won't happen. And she might be right. But I feel like
go to Lenox with one of your baggy pants.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, true.
That'd be great.
With some of my old crossbones.
Right, right. They won't even look
they
at
won't
you.
Even look like
you would actually probably fit in.
What the fuck's wrong with him? But yeah, I don't fuck with Lenox Mall like that.
Understood.
Like, yeah, dudes just dudes are just
like, what did they, like, what the hell was
that? Hey, Dredd. What's up, Dredd? Are you fucking serious?
Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing?
Man, it's obnoxious. Like, I always say that, like, living in Atlanta in the 2000s, it makes me understand what women go through. Yeah. Like, all my female friends always clown because they're like, yeah, now you see what we deal with all the time.
Right.
I'm like, no, I get it. I fucking get it. Because dudes, no matter their orientation, are fucking assholes.
Yeah.
Whether they're gay, straight, bi, whatever. Dudes are assholes. And I cannot tell you how many times I've had to be like, bro, like, leave me alone. Like, I'm not gay. Yes, you are. Come on, just stop. Like, bitch, like, if you don't get the fuck away from me, if you don't get the fuck out my face, like, leave me alone. And, you know, I'm the least homophobic dude on the street.
Right.
And I'm always like, dude, like, you're lucky it's me. Like, there are dudes out here that look like me
that
would not be cool with what you're doing. Right. Like, I'm if you're just like, hey, you know, hey, you look good, man. Like, you know, and I'm just like, hey, man, I'm not gay. I'm straight. But I appreciate
That's
the compliment.
It's interesting to hear a guy tell a story about being hit on by another.
Bruh.
Because most of us don't have that story.
Has it ever happened?
Yeah. No, never happened. Never happened to me.
You never hit on about. I know you have because you look like a bear. I know. Gay men probably love you.
No, I have. I had a roommate in college. They used to hit on him, and he used to tell me the stories. He'd be driving, and he had this hooped, like, this beat up car. Right, we're in college. Nobody had rides, right? And he would just be driving. Like, he's a Scorpio, so he was always kind of like hypersexual anyway.
Okay.
So. Because he would have women and stuff all over and be telling me all kind of crazy shit. But yeah, they used to hit on him all the time. Light skin, had a nose ring, bald head, and shit like that. And he would tell me the stories of people hitting on him. He would just pull up at a light. He said people, they would just be looking at him from the other side of the car.
I get it. I feel him.
Wow.
And it's roll the window down. Like, where you going? And all these kind of different
stories. I'm going home.
Yeah.
Can I come?
Yeah. So we used to always.
True story.
So yeah. So he would tell me the stories of him being hit on. I was like, man, I've never been hit on like that.
I just thought about one. And I don't even know if it counts. But this guy I used to work with. I was riding downtown one day. And this guy rolled, just like you said, rolled past me, and he rolled his window down, and he said, do you know what time it is? And
that's the sign.
I did not know, and that's the guy sign. At work told me the next day, like, yeah, they were trying to hit on you. He was like, do you know what time it is? And he started pointing like this. He was like, do you know what time it is? I was like, yeah, it's 5:55.
See, you're supposed to say, like, 3:15.
But I had a clock. I'm like,
that means it's time to get that. It's time to get that.
So, yeah, I guess that's the only time it ever happened to me. And I was oblivious to it.
I've heard stories of gay people, like, saying stuff about me from afar. Never to my face, but from afar. You know what I'm talking about.
Right, right.
I don't.
You don't?
A certain person? Talking about Bobby?
Yeah, we used to work with.
Oh, Bobby used to get on, bro.
Yeah.
Bless the dead. I love, you know.
Yeah, he was cool as shit. But what? Yeah, but I've heard stuff. What I've heard happened? Stuff like that. Like, just.
Bobby was that dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's the guy we used to work with.
If you slip up, oh, Bobby got you.
Bobby got you. Wow. And I don't have a quote-unquote gaydar. Mm-hmm. I don't even believe in that shit. Well, right. Actually, I do because people have it, I guess. I can't tell if somebody's gay unless they say, hi, I'm gay, or they have a boyfriend. Right. Whatever, I can't tell because I don't care anyway.
Yeah, I don't care either.
But when I first started, this is back when it was Bell South. When I first started, I remember one of the first things is I came in and Bobby called me into his office and was talking to me about all this shit and was just, oh, you know, I just want to be here to help and da da da. And I was just like, okay. And I came out and I'm telling my boy Jay, I'm like, man, Jay, man, Bob, this dude, Bobby, cool as shit. And he was like, what'd he do?
Did he touch you?
He's trying to mint. I know. Like,
where did he touch you? In a bad place?
Right.
You know you can tell HR about this.
Yeah, like, I was like, no, he talking about he only want to mentor me. And he was like, man, Bobby hitting on you. And I'm like, what do you mean? He was like, Bobby's hitting on you. I was like,
wow.
He's like, Bobby's gay? He's like, are you fucking serious? Yeah, of course. I was like, oh, I didn't know. But from that point on,
no gator.
Man, Bobby would say the most fucked up shit about dudes, and because he knew I didn't care, but he would just be vulgar. And you know what else is bad about that? I won't.
This
motherfucker. He would go out of his way to try to gross me out because we had this conversation before. I was just like, look, talking to me about your conquest doesn't bother me.
Right.
Just like a guy talking about his conquest with a woman. Mm-hmm. I don't care to hear it, but I'm not going to get grossed out. And he's like, oh, really? So he starts trying to gross me out. So he would talk about all kinds of wild shit. And I was like, look, all right, you won.
Right.
I'm waving white flags.
I'm waving white flags. I'm like, bro, you got me. I don't want to hear no more about this. But, man, yeah. Y'all could walk a mile or two in my shoes.
Yeah.
It gets crazy.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, much Jesus like you. Christ. Yeah, he would just say because he knew I was straight, but he would say whatever anyway.
Yeah.
So that's just how he was, and it was just like this is just who he is. This is Bobby, mm-hmm. but he would just say all kind of inappropriate stuff all the time to me, and he knew that I was straight, but he would say that. So I've heard stories like he would go around the office talking to other people, other women in the office, talking about when I used to work out. I used to wear these tight shirts.
You get your Bishop A long?
Yeah. Yeah, Bishop A long.
I did. So I used to wear these.
Shut up, Pete.
So yeah, I used to wear these fitting shirts around the office.
Fitting.
Now were they?
See, I tried to change it up.
He changed that shit up quick as hell, didn't he, Mike?
Right.
These tight fitting shirts.
Now were they fitting shirts or were they mediums?
No, them shits was
Yeah, they were.
He would wear my shirts.
Oh shit!
I think it was okay. Like, bro, I can see your heartbeat.
That would be damn. Hey, man, I had a nice physique, but he would.
That's what Bobby said.
Pretty much. Because he would say to them, he was like, I wonder what he would ask. He actually knew which set of shirts I had. So he was like, I wonder which one he's gonna wear today.
Wow.
The maroon one or the white one. That's the Bobby stuff that he would do. And so I heard about those stories, you know, afterwards, but it didn't matter. Like Bobby had no shame.
None.
And he would say stuff to you in your face.
That's what was cool about him. He was like, fuck it, I'm gay.
Yep.
If you have a problem with it, that's your problem.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about dick right now. Right. And he would put it like this. He would say, well, you know what? I walk through this office and I hear y'all talking about titties.
Right.
You don't hear me complain. So why the fuck do you have a right to get upset about me? And I was like, you're fucking right. Yeah. I mean, I'm not talking about titties in the office either.
Right.
I ain't talking about dick in the office. I ain't talking about shit in the office. But I get his point.
That makes
it
sense.
Was just when it got to be a little bit too vulgar. Like, if y'all were like, man, I was fucking this girl and her pussy so hard, her pussy would bleed. I'd be like, bro, I don't want to. This is gross. Like, I don't want to hear this.
A dog, a pussy would bleed.
I'd be like, I don't want to hear this shit. Same thing. If you're talking about another, I don't want to hear this. It doesn't matter what type of sex y'all are having. I don't want to hear it.
Right.
But I think the best part about, like, I used to work at Pearl Arts and Craft, and I worked with this dude. He worked in the pencil department. I won't say his name, but he was a very flamboyant dude. Okay. And I used to love talking to this guy because he would put me up on so many mm-hmm. like underground signs mm-hmm. that the gay community has that mm. we don't know about. Mm-hmm. And I would tell him, I'm like, man, I was leaving so-and-so the other day and this dude would like not leave me alone. And he was like, all right, I'm going to tell you why he's doing that. He's like, do you ever think about your wallet chain? Because I had a wallet chain.
Okay,
back
okay.
then. And I was like, what? He was like, yeah, your wallet chain. He's like, you wear it on the right side of your body. I was like, okay. And he's like, well, most men put their wallet in their left hand pocket.
Okay.
And they usually wear their watch on their left arm. Right. You're right-handed, aren't you? I was like, yes. And he was like, you're giving off signs. And I was like, what are you talking about? He says, the wallet chain is the main one. He was what? Like, due to wear their wallet chain on that side of their body, that means a certain thing. And it took me like damn near 10 minutes to get out of him what it actually meant. I was like, just fucking tell me. He was like, that means you like to get fucked hard.
Wow.
And I was like, so not just fucked, but not just mildly fucked, real not hard. Just like romantically fucked with your face being stroked. No, he's like, no, you like to get fucking dominated face and destroyed. Facing the fucking wall, just, you gonna take this motherfucker. And I was like, wow. And he was like, so if you're going to areas that frequent those type of people, meaning fetish type of cats, you might want to consider tucking your wallet chain in. And I was like, man, this is crazy.
Right.
But I'm telling you, he had, it was like a fucking whole, right. dictionary. Like a dictionary.
Yeah.
And it was interesting as shit to me.
How long before did you change it?
Y'all.
I didn't catch that.
Y'all are stupid. Y'all are so fucking stupid, man.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's crazy.
No, I never changed it. I was like, whatever.
What is good if you didn't change it?
I didn't change it. I was like, whatever. I mean, I don't care. But I just found it, because it was almost like, you know, in the black community, we have certain things that mean, or I will say the urban community, really. Mm-hmm. Have certain words that mean other things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I never knew that the gay community had the same thing. And it was detailed as
like
fuck.
All these certain codes.
Yes. It does make sense because he was like, look, there's certain things that I can't say around other people without them not only getting offended, but get violently offended.
Right.
And I was like, I get it. I do. But my problem always came into the aggression. Like, come on. Like, if I tell you, like, leave me alone, like, just leave me alone.
Yeah, respect.
Respect me. Like, get the fuck out of my face.
Mike getting this high five on. Playing hard to get.
That's exactly what they thought.
All right.
Now, here come all the homophobia comments. Like, y'all some homophobes.
No, it's not homophobic. I mean, I could care less what people do behind closed doors. It's funny because I was just having this conversation with my 14-year-old. And he was explaining to me about girls at his school being gay, which kind of made me, I don't want to say it shocked me, but it's like, it's one of those things where you have those aha moments as a parent. Mm-hmm. Cause like, you don't think about kids. Cause I just remember our era, you couldn't be openly gay in high school.
No.
Mm-hmm. He's a high school freshman, about to be a sophomore.
Yeah.
You couldn't be openly gay, male or female.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I just explained to him, like, look, man.
Which is funny, because we always knew the ones that were.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We know the ones that were. Yeah, and I was explaining to him, like, I have a stepbrother. And, like, my stepbrother, I've known him since he was 7. Mm. And maybe about 15 years ago, he finally came out.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad called me. My dad said, well, you know, I got something to tell you. He's like, your stepbrother's gay. I was like, and? I mean, I was like, I knew that. I knew, you know, we had an idea, you know, and he was like, well, he's also into cross-dressing. I was like, okay. I was like, you know, just, I don't want my boys to see wigs in his closet, but I was like, you know, but if it does, cool. But I think what I was trying to get to my son was like, look, people are going to do what they want to do. You won't have any, I said, you don't care. I said, I don't care what somebody does behind closed doors. That's their business. Mm-hmm. I was like, what I don't want you to be is in a position where you're treating them differently. I said, because they feel the same way you feel, the same emotions you might have. Mm-hmm. And I said, and I told him, I said, look, I said, most gay men don't want a straight man. I was like, so.
Exactly.
I said, I don't want you to be fearful of a guy in your, because he was telling me about some boy in his class that's kind of flamboyant.
And he was sitting next to
Yeah. And he actually said his teacher put him away from everybody, which I thought was kind of weird.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. And she, well, his explanation was the fact that he was kind of being disruptive, but I'm like, I don't really know. The way that he explained it, it didn't sound like that.
His lifestyle was disruptive. Yeah.
So I told him, I said, look, treat them the same. I said, because they feel the same way you do. I said, we're all the same people. And, you know, I'm just trying to instill those kind of, because But even having to think about that as a parent, that's like I said, it was one of those parenting moments where you're like, damn, because like I said, when I was in high school, we knew of people who might be gay, mm-hmm. but you know, just be openly gay, no, male or female, couldn't do it.
We had a buddy in high school that, I mean, I knew he was gay from day one, and he was never open about it. And I remember one of our other friends passed away, and we had to drive up to Virginia for the funeral. Mm-hmm. And we were in the car, and he was like, yeah, you know, and he's talking. We hadn't seen him since high school. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, because, you know, I feel like I should go ahead and tell y'all that I'm gay. And everybody in the car was like, no fucking shit. Water's wet, yeah. And the sky's fucking blue. Right. What are you talking about? Right. Next topic. And he was like, wait a minute. Y'all knew? I was like, motherfucker, everybody knew. Right. What do you mean? You weren't closeted.
Right.
You might have thought you were, but he was like, why didn't y'all say anything? What the fuck was I going to say?
Right. It's your lifestyle. Right. You live
Who
your
gives
life.
A shit?
Right.
Me and you played video games. We rode bikes and rode skateboards. What the fuck was there for me to talk to you about it? I was like, I figured at some point if you felt like discussing it, you would. Mm-hmm. But right. I wasn't going to sit you down one day in fucking 10th grade like, hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. Let's talk. Like,
I've been having a funny feeling about this.
Yeah. Every time we play video games, the way you hit the button,
you kind of scoot your thigh over a little bit too close. Like, I don't know.
How's that conversation actually happen?
Right.
I was just like, none of us give a shit, man. None of us care.
So let me ask you this. The three of y'all can answer this because you guys are really, really into this. As far as hip hop goes, we've seen the, you know, thuggers with dresses mm-hmm. on and stuff like that. How, and then we've come from an era where, I mean, hip hop is very masculine mm-hmm. and it's in your face masculinity. I'm better than you. Mm-hmm. You ain't shit. Mm-hmm. If I got this, you don't have it, you ain't shit. Mm-hmm. And then you have a guy that comes, or I don't want to say guy, but you have a generation of MCs or rappers mm-hmm. that have openly expressed their expression per se, and not necessarily coming out saying that they're gay or bisexual or anything like that. But do you think that helps, hinders, or hurts them as an artist?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. I think the conversation around Thugger is interesting because he's wearing dresses. They were, you know, rumored for him to be either bi or gay because of his friend that got out of jail, they kissed him or mm-hmm. whatever. And he refers to him as, I think he refers to him as
bae.
Yeah, bae. Yeah, yeah, bae. Like that. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think it sparked a conversation about just about that, like those type of terms. You know, like you're familiar with this, The Read. So I've heard something interesting on The Read.
The what?
It's a podcast called The Read.
Oh, The Read.
Yeah. Gotcha. So on that particular podcast, just as a quick aside, like they refer to everybody as girl.
Okay.
You know, male or female. They're like, girl, bi, girl, this, that, and the other. And I was listening. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I thought it was kind of cool that you're taking a turn. Like, we always refer to, hey, man, stop it. Boy, stop. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, we take one term and apply it to everybody. So mm-hmm. I thought it was cool that they're actually taking that term and applying to everybody.
Right.
What I thought was interesting about that, because my mom has done it to me. When she's telling the story, she'd be like, girl, let me tell you this, that, and other. And then she'll catch herself and be like, oh, well, you know, I'd be like, mom, I don't actually.
Right.
I know you.
I get it.
Yeah, you think you're talking to your friend or whatever. It doesn't bother me. I think you know what and who I am. But to hear them say it like years later and to use it that way, I thought was actually kind of cool.
Okay.
So back to Thugger. Him using the word bae, him wearing the dresses, this, that, and the other, it's like, I think you're kind of taking a guy that's super mainstream or known in the mainstream world, whether or not he's broken out in terms of sales or not, and you're forcing people to look and think and respond differently to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, basically saying what is, quote-unquote, acceptable or not. Or, doesn't even fucking matter. I think we're at the mm-hmm. point now, it's like, what you do with your life doesn't even affect us. We don't give a fuck.
Right.
But the world, like, where does everybody else fall in that? So I think that, and then all of a sudden, what the other weird part is that later on he came out and he was supposed to be getting married and had a girlfriend.
Right. Right.
So it's like, you know, which one is it? Like, are you going to be this or are you going to be that? Like, are you taking this to hide and cover up, mm-hmm. you know, like who you really are? Kanye West coming out wearing, you know,
kilts
and stuff like that.
Well, Lil Wayne aren't really a gay thing.
Yeah, it's not, but
because some of them Scottish motherfuckers would have killed you. Be the first ones to beat your ass. Yeah.
You know how we are.
I know.
Right. In the black, yeah.
Yeah, you know how we are. We see a kill. Oh, why you wearing?
Why you wearing a dress? Why you wearing a dress, though?
Right. Why do you care? Same thing with Thugger. I think is it Migos or is it the Shrimmer Boys? Ray Shrimmer?
The magazine cover you talking
about? With the cover. With them and their brothers, and they're leaning all of them on top of. I think they're kind of.
They're just like leaning on each other. It's nothing even crazy. Yeah,
yeah, it's nothing even crazy, but it
people, people went crazy for a second.
They were leaning against each other.
Yeah. They're fucking brothers, and they're leaning on each other. Now it's become
Was a big issue.
Right.
I don't even know if it was gay, just about masculinity and what does masculinity look like.
People need to grow up. Yeah, people really need to fucking grow up.
So I think that's kind of where we are. I think these are conversations that we need to have. We've had it on Dead in Hip Hop,
right?
You know, because I think it's the only way we're going to actually move forward.
But I think point, I think Mike said this like about a year ago, it's going to take someone like, I think you said like a Jeezy or just someone to like, if an artist like that to come out and say they were gay or something like that, I think for it to be starting point for it to be acceptable.
Well, because people need to stop associating gay with being hyper feminine.
Yeah.
Because that's not what gay means.
Right.
But
or
I think
soft.
That,
or even being or soft. Yeah, just because you're gay doesn't mean you're soft. Because we talk about that with sports. Like, we talked about.
And that's a struggle.
Possibly, yeah.
Too.
That's will you ever have. Like, if Kevin Durant tomorrow said, or LeBron said he was gay tomorrow.
A superstar.
Yeah, superstar. Yeah. I mean, like,
we're not talking about Jason Collins.
We're not talking about somebody who's
super
retired and said, by the way, when I played football for 14 years, I was gay.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, people automatically associate gay with soft when it comes to sports. So, it's a conversation that needs to be had because I think we need to move past that.
Well, that's the beauty of someone like Young Thug. And that's why I think that what he's done has been very interesting. Is showing men can have a feminine side and not be gay.
Mm-hmm.
So he can walk around in a dress all he wants. He can have a beautiful wife.
She look at Prince. Prince had to wear them, you know, ice skating outfits and stuff. Like, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and Prince but you knew, girl.
But you knew, yeah, but Prince you knew Prince. You used to watch some Prince videos because you know he had.
But Prince didn't kill the perception of
that's
soft.
True. That's true. That's
and
true.
I think that's where it changes. Like Prince was not known for I'm a beat your ass.
Right.
That's he was just
I
known
think Prince could have whooped your ass though.
No, he I'm sure he could. But you wouldn't look at Prince and say, you know what? Like he didn't have a reputation.
Right.
Like,
He wasn't Suge Knight.
Exactly. Right. No one even questioned that part of Prince's life. It was like Prince wears high heels, it's Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Hammer came out wearing high heels, be like, what the fuck is Hammer doing? Mm-hmm. And you couldn't say, well, Prince did it. No. But you're not Prince.
You're not Prince.
So it didn't matter. But with Thug, I think it's a beautiful thing. He comes out and he wears dresses. He poses on album covers in these very, I guess you can say they're like these feminine type poses. Mm-hmm. But he is not known to be homosexual. Maybe he is. I don't know.
Right.
But he has what is a wife, and he has a reputation for he will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. I think that idea is very interesting because. That's gotten to the point where people, they can't really do anything.
It's kind of like Omar.
It's very much like Omar. Oh, well, it is like Omar, but Omar was actually gay.
I know. Yeah.
And the thing about it is, it's the flip side. Yeah, like Omar.
The attachment I made was that he has the reputation for killing you.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So.
But Omar, you look at him and you would not think, okay, that person
right.
is gay.
Right.
Which is what
right.
made him. Right.
Which is what made him very interesting.
Very much so.
And that was another thing that we needed. And that was so beautiful about The Wire is
one
that
the best shows
broke
ever.
That ridiculous stereotype that if you're gay, you must be like the Men on Film guys from Living Color. Because that's what we all thought.
Hated it.
Zine Formate. Like, you thought that every gay man was like this.
That,
then you see Omar. And I'd already not really been stuck in that perception anyway. But when I saw Omar, I was like, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was.
And then when Young Thug came around, I was like, that's pretty cool too. Mm. But I'm not going to lie. When he first came out, I figured he was probably closeted.
Mm.
But being such, and he, I think, I thought at the time that he was just conflicted.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he wanted to be this person, but he knew he couldn't come out and be this person in today's hip hop culture because he was still a thug.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that would hurt his credibility.
Right.
But I think the fact that he is not gay makes what he does very, very interesting.
And I think even what we see is, for take it for what it's worth, like comment section, and like you were mentioning earlier, I think the people that get so charged up about stuff like that and the romper stuff, you know, those are the people that you really should be concerned about, because they are the ones that really are pushing the agenda. You know, why we got to be on this gay shit? Why we got to be on this gay shit? And it's not even about that.
We don't have to be. We don't have to be. You don't have to do anything.
Right.
But give these people the option to speak about their truth. Just like white people will go on and be like, why do y'all talk about race all the time? Well, we don't have to. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have to, right, meaning black people and white people. Mm-hmm. But black people, we have no choice but to talk about race because we deal with it on a regular basis. Every you day. Don't have to.
Yep.
That's the same thing with gay people. We don't have to talk about gay relations between you know, gay men and straight men, gay women. We don't have to talk about that because we're straight men. Mm-hmm. But gay men, they have to talk about that because we made them have to talk about that. That's what we don't really understand. Why we gonna be on this gay shit? Well, you should be asking yourself that, because you saying why do we have to be on this gay shit is why we have to be on this gay shit.
And that's why you saw so many people frustrated and upset about the rompers, because it made them feel some type of way, which I don't understand why it would make you feel some type of way, but that speaks to your point.
Women clothing and the association of wearing women clothing, cross-dressing with being gay or closeted. I think the other thing, when I'm hearing you guys talk, remember we used to hear, like, you got to be in touch with your feminine side.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, this, that, and other. So we were talking about Young Thug and the different poses and stuff like that. You know, that came in my head about how people say, you got to be in touch with your feminine side. And I guess part of that was, like, to be a little bit softer in relationships with your kids and your wife, and to show, like, a softer side of who you are. So when I was hearing you say that about him and the dressing and not really the dressing in the skirts and stuff like that, which I think is interesting. Like, when are we ever going to get past the point where clothing is gender specific?
No. Not in our lifetime, that's for sure. And maybe not even in our child's lifetime, because homophobia hasn't progressed that much.
Nope.
It's getting better a little bit, but when you have,
especially in the black
community, elected officials that are homophobic, it's just like, well, fuck, we haven't moved that far.
Mm-hmm. And then when you talk about, you know, just our feminine or our softer side, I mean, think about how soft really are we? You know, if your son falls down and starts crying,
get your ass up.
Yeah. Stop crying. Wipe your face.
Yeah,
you know, I've never run when they start crying or something happened. They play.
No, you're not supposed to.
Yep.
Kid falls down. I mean, unless they got something broke. You don't, because you don't want to let them think that it's okay. I mean, you're going to be hurt.
Yeah.
But it's how you comfort or pacify them. You can do one of the two. You know, and I think sometimes they tend to pacify them. But, you know, like you said, soft. You know, how soft are we?
But I think, like, for me, I think I probably would have benefited a lot from seeing, like, my parents the way they are today. Mm-hmm. My dad being an affectionate. I didn't see any of that. So I was talking to my mom, you know, and just trying to just get some history. Because I realized that, I don't know if it was here or somewhere else, I realized that I really don't know much about my parents.
Same.
Really?
So I just said, so.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, so my dad, I guess for everybody, he has cancer. He has throat cancer.
Oh, sorry to
hear. It was terminal last year.
Okay.
And he's been back and forth in Atlanta. He's going to be here for the next 6 weeks getting treatment, because they had to actually take his voice box out and stuff like that. And
damn.
Yeah, it was serious. But he went from dying to living because he just can't talk.
That's good.
And what was interesting about, you think about all the moments. Like, think about all the time my dad used to just sit there and talk. When I go home, he would sit there and talk. It'd be like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting there like, nodding. Ain't just talking because he's just so glad that I'm home, right? And because I stay here and I rarely go home, and I don't even call that much, you know. But so I think about, like, my parents, like, I don't know anything about them. So I just sat, when we was in the hospital, it was one Friday, he was having a surgery. Now I just sat and talked to my mom just about, what was it like when you were growing up? What were you like? What was the tension like?
You didn't have,
like,
these conversations and growing up?
No. My dad would tell me stuff.
Mine was for a different reason, but go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, not with my mom. My dad would just tell me stuff. But my dad was in the war.
Which war?
I was about to say, which war?
Vietnam?
Yeah, I think it was
my
Vietnam.
My dad, too.
Mine, too.
He Okay, so another reveal. So last year he had PTSD, so he was diagnosed with PTSD. He actually threatened to kill himself. So it was a lot of crazy, stuff happening last year in my family. So cops came over, and you know about the tension in America, because he actually called the police and said that he was going to do it. So they rushed to the house, and he actually went in the garage in the storage room in the garage to try to hide the gun. They came out. They came there, surrounded the house, and then he came out and tried to talk to them like nothing was happening. He was like, "Oh, what? What are you talking about?"
He's lucky they didn't shoot him.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah. He's lucky they didn't shoot him. So they had. So he was actually admitted to the VA. So he was up there for a couple of weeks, and they were just talking to him. So they had to give him like medicines for depression and stuff like that. Mm. So yeah, a lot of crazy stuff. So that happened, and then his cancer came back. It's his third bout with cancer, and he beat it twice. He had throat cancer. He had colon cancer, I want to say. Yeah. And then the throat cancer came back. So, and then, you know, of course, they said it was terminal last year. So, which is crazy, like living with the fact that, you know, you have to, he's making all these plans about, yeah, so we got to do this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And trying to just prepare for, you know, the inevitable. So, so I never had these conversations. Like, he would tell me about stuff, about my family history, this, that, and other stuff, you know, these dark secrets, right? But I never talked to him about the war. And another thing about the opiate, like my brother, like we've talked about this on the show, like black families don't really take mental health seriously. No. So my brother just kind of blamed my dad and my mom. And just like, what are you? I'm like,
stop acting crazy.
Yeah. And I had to educate, I had stop to get on the phone because I'm, I had to get on the phone. I'm like, no, this is blah, 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 whatever.
Damn.
So yeah, so anyway. So I never talked to my dad. So I never talked to my mom. So I'm sitting there having a conversation with my mom, and one thing I thought was interesting, she was fine with segregation. She didn't care to be integrated until they made her, which I thought was kind of interesting and cool.
Did she have like a reason why, or it's like a long?
It did nothing really that world didn't even bother her. She didn't notice anything different. Even the outside world was, you know, happening. It didn't bother her at all. But yeah, you just never really have these conversations. So back to where I originally started. When my dad, so in the midst of those conversations, I was like, well, how was my dad, you know, with us when we were growing up? Because now he's all, I love you, this, that, and the other. She was like, he was strict. He was hard. Mm-hmm. Like, he was rough. He went out with his friends all the time. He was barely on. She said, I would come home, and you guys be in messy diapers and stuff. Like, my dad was basically like, care more about his friends than, you know, his kids and this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any of this.
Okay.
You know. I just always thought my dad, I knew my dad raised us hard and tough. You got to be a man, military guy, right?
Okay.
So, you know, all that. Like, I remember one time I was outside, you know, doing something. He had us outside doing something. I cursed, and he heard me through the window. He was like, what you say? And I had to say it. I was so terrified that he was going to come out there and get us. So he was a very strict man, but I didn't know he was like that when we were younger, like as toddlers growing into the different grades or whatever. So back to where I started again. I think I would have really benefited from seeing my dad being affectionate with my mom the way I'm seeing him now as an adult.
Okay.
I didn't see any of that growing up. So I didn't see the softer side of my dad, the side that they say we need. It was always tough. I'm not like soft like that. I'm not affectionate.
You're hard, nigga.
And it's not intentional, right?
Yeah.
It's just normalized.
Right. It's been normalized to the point where, like, when I go home, my kids would rush in, hey, daddy, and run in and hug me, and I'd just be standing there. Sometimes I kind of give him a little pat to the back. I'm like, hey. My son would jump, and he'll wrap his arms around and slide down like he in a freaking cartoon. And, you know, I have to constantly remind myself to, like, cherish those moments, but also be affectionate to them because that's so beneficial to them growing up.
Yeah.
You know, I just, like, so... Yeah, so that back to that feminist side, like, it would have been nice to have seen that because I could have been totally different with a lot of the women in relationships that I've had, dating men and female relationships Not that I've dated men.
Oh, I was so confused for a minute. I was
just saying, he's revealing a lot.
Relationship with men?
Like, yeah, no.
I'm about to say,
not that I care,
relationship. Who you really ordered that rope for?
Yeah. I was about to say, okay, Ken, cool.
Like, yeah, the overall relationships that I've had just with people in general.
Right.
Uh-huh. It would have been nice if I would have seen that, because I probably could have been a totally different person.
Yep.
You know, so. Yeah, that's crazy.
I think that's just like that's just a black family thing. Not all black families show that softer side. Like, my family didn't show that. Only reason I show a quote-unquote more feminine side is because I grew up with mainly just my mom and my sister.
Okay. Mm.
So I was more comfortable being around women, and my dad was a fucking piece of shit.
Okay.
So
is he still alive? I'm sorry.
No. Thank God, no. Okay. No.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry. I'm not. But... So being around him, like when you're younger, you associate, okay, your mom, who my mom is a fucking badass, who worked fucking 3 jobs to take care of, you know, me and my brother and my sister. So you associate women with being this super strong, take care of the household type. And then my dad over here, you know, getting drunk, cheating, you know, taking me over the hoe's house that he's cheating with. You know, we sit in the living room playing video games. He in the back fucking, and I none of this shit even came to my mind until I was older. Yeah. But yeah, my dad was cheating with hella people. So I associated being a young kid. I associated men with being fucking pieces of garbage.
Right.
Because my brother left early.
Okay.
Like, the second he could, he was like, I'm out. My mom and my sister were just always taking care of everything. So I associated women with just, like I said, these strong. And so when I show these like sensitive sides, or when I'm talking about, you know, feminism and all this shit, and people say, oh, man, you got gay. You want to say gay. Fine. That's fine. But that's the environment that I grew up in. I grew up around women. I have way more female friends than I do male friends.
Okay.
Because I'm more comfortable around women, because that's how I was from birth. My dad wasn't around when I was a baby, or a toddler, or a teenager. So those formative times were spent with women. So it really depends on how you grow up and the emotions that your parents show. So I get it. If your dad was softer, that would have been normalized in your household, that men are hard, but they're soft when they need to be. But if you don't see that soft when they need to be part, you're not going to get that.
Yeah.
So I get it.
I think just for me, we grew up in a house where it was just me and my brother, and my parents divorced when I was 14. Mm-hmm. So I got to know a lot more. But I asked those questions. That's why I asked you.
Yeah,
I asked those questions growing up. So I stay away from the Vietnam questions because my dad, you guys talk to my dad. Mm-hmm. My dad's long-winded, so you can ask him one question about Vietnam, and that might turn into a two-hour conversation of you just sitting and listening for, you know, hour and 55 minutes.
Kyle's dad's cool, by the way.
Yeah, he's cool. But I learned more about them, and then I learned more about relationships when they, you know, when they got divorced or whatever. But I think it's what I saw in my house. He was affectionate, but I think I'm more affectionate than he was at this stage. But I'm also conscious of the fact that whatever I do with me and my wife, my sons see it.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So if I'm smacking her around, you know, they're going to smack somebody around.
Exactly.
But we're a loving couple. Mm-hmm. Now we get at it, you know.
Of course, because we're human.
Yeah, we're human. We don't necessarily see eye to eye on everything. We see eye to eye. So when we argue, we try not to let them see us argue.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have that, and that's what, almost 17 years of marriage. Mm. And then I'm very conscious of the image that we portray, but I'm also conscious of the fact of how I interact with them. Like you said, you walk in the house, I want that, because you done dealt with shit at work all day.
Absolutely,
you done dealt with traffic all day. You get home, you want
your little girl to run up to
you. Yeah, you want them to run up to you, because, and I try, and I'll tell you this just personally, appreciate those moments, because when they get older, those moments come few and far between. Yeah, I mean, because you think about it, like my oldest is going off to college. I know, like, when I went off to college, that was it. I never lived with my parents again after that.
Me too. Yeah.
I stayed in South Carolina for another 6 months, and then I moved to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've never lived with my parents since then. Mm-hmm. So my parents divorced when I was 13. So I think we have to, those moments you got to cherish it. But I think we have to have those kind of conversations about who our parents, because I think you get to a certain point, maybe in, I want to say maybe when you're around 15, 16, you kind of realize you see your parents for who they are. Mm-hmm. Perfect or imperfect. You know, it was probably with some of the stuff that you saw, you realized, okay, my dad, but you were able to differentiate and say, okay, well, my dad is a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm assuming you still loved him.
But like, I guess I think you're supposed to.
Yeah, you still love him. And but now, question: did your mother ever? Did you ever like talk bad about him?
Hell yeah.
Okay, and your mom let you do that?
She just didn't say nothing.
Okay,
but we all talked bad.
Now see, my mom was funny because like you know she had her issues with my dad, and she'd be like, you know, oh he ain't shit. Da, 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 da.
But you couldn't say
no. She say, but that's your daddy. Mm-hmm. Don't you say nothing bad about your dad. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was her thing. So you know, but I think you get to a certain age. So my boys are at the age where you know your parents are always. I don't care who you are, what color you are.
Yeah.
Mom and dad are superheroes.
Absolutely.
But when you get older, you realize who they are as people. Mm-hmm. Maybe their imperfections. You know, things that they did or didn't do. And then you kind of go from there. But now I'm loving. I tell my sons that all the time. I love you. You know, all of that. Because I don't want them to ever have doubt. We know people that grew up like that. Yeah. That you know, mom and dad never said I love you. And
my
you know,
dad didn't say that at all. My mom either.
And at the end of the day, man, we only get two parents. That's it. And when they're gone, they're gone. Yep. And you know, having friends lose parents. You know, I know you lost your mom. You know that's hurtful when you have those moments when you can celebrate those moments and then you see other people who would and then not so much as having those moments but see people kind of not cherish the fact that their parents are still here you know where I'm pretty sure like you would you know chop your right arm off to talk to your mom
I hate saying that.
So I remember I had a buddy in high school and I remember we were in the car once and his stupid ass He got his hand caught in the window of the car, and he thought his mom was doing it, and he was like yelling at his mom like, "Oh my God, my hand's in the window!" And his mom is like, "It's driving." She's like, "What? What's going on?" He's like, "You're closing my fucking hand in the window!" And I was like, "Oh my God!" He said, "Fucking, this is crazy." And then he goes, "My hand's caught in the window, you stupid bitch!"
Whoa.
And she wasn't fazed by this. And I was like, oh, my fucking God. Yeah. It turns out that his fucking fat ass arm was leaning on the switch. And it was closing his hand in the... And I was like, oh, my God. Like, you called your mom a bitch. And the thing about it is, she wasn't even remotely phased. Like, this was a normal thing.
Black family, white family.
This is a white family.
Oh, okay.
If it was a black family, he'd have been dead.
On the spot.
Dead on the spot. She'd have been like, the fuck did you just say?
Right.
No, this is a white family.
I had to ask. I'm sorry.
And this was like the first like white friend that I had in Georgia.
Okay.
Mm.
And I was just like, I can't hang out with you people. Because this is not what you do. What do you mean, you people?
Some of my best friends are white.
Them. Yeah, right. I meant them. I was like, I can't hang out with you guys. Like, that's the craziest shit I've ever heard of. And I was thinking, even when I was fucking 14, I was like, God damn, man. Your mama's going to be dead one day.
Yeah.
And you're going to look back and be like, I called her a stupid bitch. And he didn't even apologize.
Yeah.
When he realized that his hand was the one, or his arm was the one doing it, he didn't even apologize. And I was like, "Damn, dog! Like you just called your mom a stupid bitch."
You don't get that, and we don't get. You don't get that much. Like you said, you don't get that much time with him. You know, so the time that you do get, you cherish it.
Yep. Enough of this sentimental bullshit.
Yeah, we mad.
Goddamn. Let's go arm wrestle right now. Go to the strip club after.
Okay, the second question. You want to do breakup with someone?
I'm about to say, might as well do the breakup one.
All right, cool.
The engagement one.
Cool. This comes from Santiago. He says, "Hi, guys. My name is
Santiago. I like this."
Hi, guys. I've been a huge fan of your work since 2013. My problem is that I'm dating this girl, and I want to break up with her.
Did, Santiago.
let me finish before you laugh. but she has suffered from depression and has suicidal tendencies, although she hasn't had any recently.
Man.
And I'm worried what she could do if we broke up. We've been dating for over a year. She seems always really into me and always tells me how good I am for her and how being with me has helped her emotionally. So my question is, how would you handle this situation? and how do you handle breakups in general? I don't hate her or anything like that. I still care for her, but I don't want to be with her romantically anymore. Mm. Hope you can help me, and I really like this show.
You're an asshole for this shit, Santiago. Don't be putting this shit off on us. You need to call Dr. Phil.
But you got Dr.
Phil. People give us, straight up, people seem to give us much heavier questions than I think we're qualified to answer. Yeah.
Like, but they love our opinion.
But I don't want them, honestly, and this is real talk. Mm-hmm. I don't want y'all to take our opinion and apply it towards something this heavy.
We need a disclaimer.
Yes, I'm giving it now.
There it is right there. No, that's, yeah,
I'm giving it
right
now.
But people value like,
we need
it.
No. Yeah. Disclaimer.
People, I think we do.
Yeah, before
I'll take care of that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's just, that's not something you should be asking four dumbasses on a fucking hip-hop show. This is a real problem.
I'm a relationship guru.
Oh, I forgot. Kyle is the only one that is a guru.
How would you handle this situation?
I know.
Fuck it, she'll be all right.
I think you.
My answer's so immature.
The depression aspect, right. That makes a whole nother.
Exactly.
That makes it totally.
Makes it complicated.
Yeah, it makes it very complicated. I think you. I'm a proponent of being honest. I'm a proponent of being honest with yourself. Because at the end of the day, all you have to do, we only have ourselves to live with. It doesn't matter who you are. Mm-hmm. So you just got to tell her. I mean, if you felt enough strength to propose this to us, then you should, the same way you told it to us, you tell it to her, like, look, I'm not feeling this relationship. I think it's time that I move on. Mm-hmm. And now, I understand that he may feel kind of guilty as to what might happen.
Let me ask you this. What setting would you address?
You got to do it face-to-face. You can't.
I'm just saying, like, would it be, like, at our house? Like, at your house? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what type of setting you would
do it at her house? Because if you don't want to do it at your house, you might break up your shit. So, not that that's ever happened to me before.
Right.
But,
what if she just do something crazy, like, oh, my God, and she grab her knife and just be like, or something?
See, this is why. No,
but that's, I mean, but you know, I'm just saying, no, like, if she had those type of.
But
you know,
what if she wasn't depressed? I get what you're saying, yeah, but
that's
it's
what we talk about. Yeah. Let's go to the general part.
Yeah, okay. Just, I mean, in general, I think you got to be honest with yourself, because who wants to be miserable in a relationship? Nobody. Right. So, I mean, self love come before everybody else.
Yep.
Self-care. I don't care who you are. You know, if I woke up tomorrow and didn't feel like being married, then I'm not going to stay. Just because we got kids, or you know, because we got finances together, I mean, all of that shit, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. We'll have to figure out a way to get out of it. You know, I mean, just like he has to figure out a way to get out of this relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the easiest way is to tell her. Mm-hmm. Everything else is BS.
Right.
Yeah. But you gotta be.
No, I'm just, because I was thinking about it from the depression.
We got a bleeder.
You stupid. Mm-mm. No, you did not just say that. Yeah, because you throw in at the part that, I think the part that got me too on that question was like, she's already dealing with depression, and then she's like so into him and like telling him the reason why why he's feeling a certain way. So it's like, and I got to break this news to her, like,
no, man.
Of like,
terrible. Yeah, but you don't even want that in a healthy relationship, though. You want somebody to be all on you like that?
Right.
Yeah.
You better act like I'm God.
Mike, like, bitch, I want my rose petal.
Where you going?
That's right. I'm finna bless you.
Be on me.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself.
That's right.
Yeah, I just think that part of it really complicates things. And like Kyle, I'm like straightforward and honest too. I'm like, if I'm not into you, I'm gonna be straight up and tell you. Cause I'm not about wasting time. Same I'm not here. Gonna waste the time. If I know I'm not feeling a certain type of way about you, and I'm gonna. What? Why you give me the Shaq face? Why you never gave me the Shaq face? You don't think I'm straight up, Mike?
What if it's real good, though?
Well, he already said he didn't. Didn't he say something about
start Anthony? Tapping the table?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, that's why you got the Shaq face.
One for the road. One for the road.
One for the road. So, yeah.
Don't tell nobody.
Yeah, I just have to be straight up with her, man. I would try to be so nice about this too. Like, I would just have to tell her. I really have to just like sit her down and just tell her that it's just, I'm just not with it no more. I mean, I'm not with this relationship no more.
Gotta be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotta be honest, man. Damn.
Yeah, I really don't think it's that complicated. Look here, man. She was depressed before she got with you. She was depressed while she with you. Oh, and she's going to be depressed when you leave her ass. So you should just go ahead and make sure she don't re-up on her supply. Make sure she's taking her medicine.
Re-up
and,
on her supply?
Yeah, like some drugs
sure,
or something.
Yeah. No, but you want to make sure that she's balanced. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't want to catch her in the wrong mind state. Right? So, you know, B and Kyle are absolutely right, man. Because right now, my brother, you're depressed.
Yeah.
So, shit, unless you're going to start popping pills with her ass, you might as well just get the hell up out of there. That's what I say.
Oh, shit. His advice is unreal.
Holy Lord. Mike, what you got? Mike, you got anything to say? Or?
I do not agree with anything that was just said. And I'm not even making a joke. I don't agree with any of that. If she's clinically depressed, you need to tread very lightly. And like I said, we are not counting Kyle, but the rest of us are just dumbasses who listen to rap and we talk about rap music. And I'm not trying to be a jerk to you. What's his name, Santiago? Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be an asshole, Santiago, but you really need to ask someone that's more qualified than some fucking YouTubers about how to handle something like that. I don't think it's as simple as, well, just go be honest with her and tell her, hey, baby, you know, this isn't working out. No, because you don't know how she's going to react. And if she's depressed and suicidal, I'm not saying you should stay with her because she's depressed and suicidal and you don't want to, like, deal with the fact that she's going to kill herself. But you need to figure out a way that you can get out of that relationship and keep her intact. You know, so yeah, honestly, for a lot of you guys, we appreciate your questions. We love all of you. But shit like this, I personally, it's too heavy. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, man. Like,
ask them guys.
I mean, when you're asking about general breakups, that's cool. Like, we can talk about that all day. Because I've been dumped. I've dumped women.
Right.
It's always an awkward and uncomfortable situation. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done it in a not so great way before. I've done it in very nice and, you know, passive ways. So there's a myriad of ways that you can break up with somebody. But if she has serious, actual clinical depression issues, come on, bro. Like, why are you saying that?
And it's
got
to be face to face. Don't do anything via text or something like that. Or over the phone. Let it be face to face. You know, face it like a man. I mean,
what, Ken?
So you ain't never dumped nobody. Oh, well, text wasn't around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it was funny because, like, my oldest, I told him he was about to break up with this girl via text. I'm like, nah, don't do that. Let you go see her.
Fuck that. Women cringe, bro. Nah, I've broken up with some women through text.
Really?
Savage.
Hell no. I had text back then, boy.
It'd have been on the pop.
Bitches off.
Mass text.
Mass text. Group text.
Yeah, no, I've done it. It wasn't with girls that I dated for a very long period of time.
Right.
But you wouldn't want to get broken up by via text or
shit. I dumped this one chick. Remember? Do y'all remember we were out? We were shooting the Big Crit review, and I got a phone call. And I went downstairs, and it was somebody calling from jail.
Oh, shit.
I think I remember this story.
I don't know if y'all remember this, but I went downstairs, and it was a dude calling from jail, and he was like, yo, this is – I accept the charges. I didn't know who it was.
Point?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't know who it was, but they were like, will you accept the charges? I was like, somebody's calling me from jail? Yeah, who is this? You've been fucking my bitch. And I'm like, who the fuck?
Oh, shit.
You've been fucking my bitch. You've been fucking – well, don't. Obviously, I won't say her name.
Right.
Sarah. You've been fucking Sarah. And I'm like – okay, like what? And it turns out that like that was the ex-boyfriend of this chick that I had been dating for a few months. She had a boyfriend right before we started hanging out who beat her ass and went to jail. How he get my fucking phone number? She must have given it to him.
Yeah.
Now that motherfucker, she got the double taps.
Yeah.
Send. I'm out. I have no reason to go to your house and say, hey, we're breaking up.
Oh, no, that's different circumstance.
And there's other women that I've had to do it electronically because I've dated some off color. What's a nice way of saying that they will fuck you up? I've dated some. I broke up with one through fucking Facebook Instant Messenger.
Wow.
And you know what, though? And I actually told this story. This is the one that shit in my front yard.
Oh, shit.
After I broke up with her. If y'all know what I'm talking about, go to my channel and watch the video. I detailed it. But this chick, I had... Look at Chase's face.
Look at his face.
Yo! Yeah, hey, bro, when you
I'm
out in these streets...
I'm going to put a link in the description.
When you out in these streets...
Oh, Jesus.
But yeah, like that one, I was gonna break up with her in person. Mm-hmm. She started a fight that day through text, and I was like, fine. Cool.
This is a good lead.
I don't feel like texting all this. Uh-huh. I'm just gonna hop over to Facebook Messenger where I can type properly on a computer. Mm-hmm. So I texted her back. Check your Facebook messages, please.
Wow.
Outlined it. Since you're gonna act crazy when I'm trying to dump your ass in person, I'm gonna dump your ass here. Mm-hmm. I ain't got time for this bullshit. You going through my social media trying to find out who I'm? No, bruh, bye. And yes, 2 days later, I found a turd in my carport. And for the audiologist, like, oh, how you know it was a human turd? Go to the video. There is a picture that I took.
You got an arrow point.
Bruh, I don't play. But yeah, that one, she got a Facebook instant message dump.
That makes sense.
Because, I mean, if you're already acting crazy through text when we're just trying to have a conversation,
right.
What do I owe you to come to you and have you acting crazy and you might try to fight me? Like, I'm not doing all
you crazy enough to cop a squat.
Yeah,
you crazy enough to
fight. And let some
You might throw some shit at me.
Or she might shoot you.
Or she might shoot you, punch you, stab you, whatever. I ain't got time.
Yeah, only break up face-to-face in civilized relationships.
Absolutely. Or if it's a really long-term relationship. Like, you've been together for years. Right. You know.
That deserves a face-to-face.
Yeah, if it's been like 5, 6, 7 years, yeah, you need to go talk to her in person.
Text
But if it's if it's like 2, 3 months, what the fuck? Man, go ahead and send that text. This ain't working out, Mama. I'm sorry. Send. Yeah. Sad emoji.
Yeah, to answer that question. I mean, like, to answer this question, it's tough, though. That's because depression.
We're not qualified.
We're not qualified. I mean, you know, we're not.
Not for the depression part, but just the I mean, general breaking
didn't
up.
Didn't he mention something about suicidal?
Yes, she said that's what I'm saying. Yes. Yes.
Nah.
The general breakup? Yeah, man.
I ain't got nothing for you.
Send that text.
Right.
Send that text. If it's a general, whatever, regular, whatever, send that text.
Bro. Cool. Make sure you send your questions to ask. Nope. I really am selfish. send your questions to isthemikestillon@gmail.com. Like Mike is saying, we're not super qualified to answer the really heavy stuff. So, you know, just be mindful of that when you're sending your question in. Thank you for listening to another episode of Is the Mike Still On? I still can't believe we're 20 episodes in already. It feels like we just started this thing, and I appreciate all your support the whole time. I'm going to be on vacation this weekend, so we'll have to take a short break for the next episode, but I'll see you in a couple weeks when I get back. This has been Is the Mike Still On? Starring FIFO 24/7, BZ430, KB Eng, Mike C-Town, I Am Modest Media, and Sire Music. Produced by Jay Burritos of Runaway Jukebox. All original music created by BZ430.